Today is the fourth Sunday after Easter, and these are the announcements. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today. We will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. Wednesday, we will have a talk on the Catholic faith from 6:45 p.m. to 7:45 in the hall, and it's the 17th in the series. And we will be continuing the instructions from the Baltimore Catechism number 3 with lessons 33 and 34 explaining temporal punishment, indulgences, extreme unction, and holy orders. Catechism classes will be held after the 8:30 Mass this Saturday. Next Sunday, May 21st, is the first Holy Communion Sunday, and the Mass will be at 9 in the morning. So we have the blessing of articles, we have benediction today. I'm going to tie that in with that announcement there about next Sunday being First Holy Communion Sunday, and the Mass is at 9 o'clock, not 8 o'clock. We usually do not schedule benediction on the First Communion Sunday because we know people are celebrating that day and we do not have them come back for benediction. So you know what? Today is First Holy Communion Sunday benediction. So especially for those first communicants, if they're able, their parents bring them to benediction to ask our Lord that they might receive him worthily and holily, and for us to pray for them also. And Wednesday night is the class. You heard all of it's covering many topics there. And then the catechism class. The last catechism class was snowed out, so I think this is coming up more quickly than usual. The feast for this week, today is the feast of St. Boniface, not the apostle to the Germans. His feast day is in June. This is an early martyr, 3rd century. And I'll just tell you, it's just an interesting story, so it's worth just hearing this. This man was a part of the staff of a Roman woman who was a Christian. He was a Christian too. And it says in the biography that it doesn't go into detail, but apparently it was something not good about their relationship. But he was also a drinker and he had all kinds of vices. But he was generous to the poor and everything else. So anyway, the lady said, I would like you, there in Rome, I would like you to go to what is presently Turkey, and actually to Tarsus, which is the home city of St. Paul. This is in the 4th century. And she said, I'd like you to go there, and if you can, obtain the relics of a saint to bring back. So even though they were not living perhaps a very moral life, they still had the faith. And so this man, that was his job to go do that. And he must have been already receiving grace from God, and he was responding to it, because he said to her, I will go on this mission for you, but what if the only relics that come back are my own body? And that's in fact what happened. He went to Tarsus. He arrived there. He appeared at the time that there was a actual court case going against a group of Christians, and they were going to be sent out to be martyred. And he spoke up and said, I am a Christian too. And of course, he just joined with them. And he was martyred for the faith. And then his body was brought back to Rome. And a church where she met the body on the road into Rome, she built a church in his honor. And then when she died, repentant and having lived a life of penance, she died 15 years later. They buried her next to St. Boniface. Isn't that a wonderful story? Now, this is not a feast of this week, but I'm just mentioning, yesterday was the first apparition of Our Lady of Fatima, but not on the universal calendar, there is the saint, which I'm mentioning, obviously, you'll see, Blessed Imelda. So I don't know where our first communicants are, but Blessed Imelda is your patron saint because she received her first Holy Communion and God just took her to heaven. What's better than that? Monday is the feast of St. John Baptist de La Salle, the Christian brothers. Tuesday is the feast of St. Ubaldus. Wednesday, St. Paschal Baylon, another great saint. He is the patron of Eucharistic congresses, so another saint to pray for First Holy Communion. Thursday is the feast of St. Venantius. Friday is the feast of St. Peter Celestine. When they could not elect a pope, they said, well, there's a hermit in the outskirts here of Rome. Let's make him pope. And he had been a hermit since he was, I think, 15 years old. And now he's like in his late 60s. And so they elected him, and they had to rush him through the orders and make him a bishop and then make him pope. I mean, but since he was a hermit, he is a saint. But he didn't have all the practical skills needed to be the pope. So after about 2 years, he just came into the cardinals and said, I have to step down. And so he said I was happy because they were afraid to let him, this is about 1300, and they were afraid to just let him go back to his hermitages because somebody might take him and make him into an anti-pope or something. So they actually left him in the Vatican and put him in his own little hermitage. And he said, this is where I came from and this is what I've always wanted. So he went back into the hermitage. So this is a wonderful saint. And then Saturday is St. Bernardine of Siena, who is the great Franciscan of the devotion to the Holy Name. And one of the tricks that he did, and he used to give these long sermons, and I won't go into the stories there, but I'll just tell this story how, because of the gambling and things that people did, he would go to the people who would print the cards for gambling, and he said, don't do that because this is causing all kinds of problems and everything. And he didn't want to just take away a source of income for them. So what he did instead, he hired them to print cards for him with the Holy Name on it. And he would distribute those to the people after the sermons and everything. The only other thing I'd just like to mention is a saint who's not on the universal calendar, and that is on Tuesday, May 16th, and that is St. John Nepomucene. And hopefully everyone's already heard about him because he is the great patron saint of confession. Because he was the chaplain in the 14th century in what is today the Czech Republic. And he was the chaplain to the royal court, and in particular to the queen. And the king had a great name, but he didn't live up to it. Wenceslaus IV. And he was a bad person, and he wanted to know, he was always worried about plots and everything, so he wanted to know what the queen had been telling the chaplain. Well, he said, anything that somebody says to me in confession, it's dead information. And so the king got upset about it, and he killed this priest because he would not violate the seal of confession. So you can see why he is the patron saint of that. And so a great saint to pray to, not only for maintaining the seal, but for making good confessions. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the epistle of St. James. Now, I'm going to just say this. This is from the beginning of St. James' epistle. Now, a couple of reasons why I'm mentioning this. St. James' feast was just last week. He is one of the 12 apostles. He is called James the Less because St. James the Greater was the brother of St. John the Evangelist, and they were the sons of thunder. By the way, that was a nickname. Our Lord liked to give nicknames. And he called these two, because they blustered so much, he called them sons of thunder, but their father's name was actually Zebedee. And so, but because of, you can tell this description right away, that why St. James was called the Greater. That's enough. But so this saint, in comparison, is called St. James the Less. Less, he was known as, and he identifies himself as, the brother of the Lord. St. Paul says that, I saw none of the apostles except Peter, this one after his conversion, except Peter and James, the brother of the Lord. Now, I mention that because even in our modern times, so many things come up that are interesting to follow. And that is, I don't know, some years ago, there was found a sarcophagus in the Holy Land that said on it, these are the bones, I don't know if it was Greek or Hebrew, I forget now, but it said, these are the bones of James, the brother of the Lord. And so right away it came out, everyone's coming out with, this is the brother of Christ, and then they went on from there. Now we all understand, when they talk about brother in the scripture, they're talking about a cousin of the Lord. But in, of course, a modernistic, I used it in the heretical sense, modernistic world, they started putting out that this is all about this brother of Christ. So the Blessed Mother had other children. You see what's going on. So obviously anyone who was a Catholic would know right away that that storyline was false. But you know, in a short time, so you didn't hear any Catholic scholars or anything coming out to defend the Blessed Virgin Mary, or even Protestant scholars, although some of them admit that. And it took, believe it or not, Jewish authorities. Now, this is not to the point about what does that term brother mean, but it took Jewish authorities to come out and say that this discovery was a complete fraud, because they tracked down the person who had actually created this whole hoax. Can you believe it? I mention that in conjunction because of this. There's a feast, I didn't go into any detail about it, St. Venantius on May 18th. Because the office of that saint, much of it was written by a pope. And the reason why the pope had a great devotion to the saint was because he came from the same town of the saint, Cremona, Italy. And if you were to read some kind of a text about it, you would hear all kinds of, or read all kinds of questions about who this person really is. And I don't know if they even get to the point of saying if he really existed. They're not afraid of saying that either. And I think that a pope who came from that town would know the most about that person, even though he did not live at the same time. And I trust that type of person instead of today's modern geniuses. I just give that example again in conjunction with St. James the Less and that false hoax. You cannot... I know some people. Not anyone that you know, so it's not like one of the priests or anything. I know some people that as soon as they hear a story in the media, they immediately believe the opposite. I'm not advocating that. But I'm just telling you that you cannot believe whatever you see or read out in the media. It is all controlled, and it is all out to turn you from heaven. So that's why we bring up these things, just to give you examples, because you never hear about it. Science is the God of today. So this is all about, this is St. James. This is the background to this epistle. Beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. Of his own will he has begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits of his creatures. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Therefore, casting aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Please stand for the gospel. Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 16, verses 5 to 14. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I am going to him who sent me, and no one of you asks, where art thou going? But because I have spoken to you these things, sorrow has filled your heart.
But I speak the truth to you. It is expedient for you that I depart. For if I do not go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin, because they did not believe in me. Of justice, because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he will hear, he will speak. And the things that are to come, he will declare to you. He will glorify me, because he will receive of what is mine and declare it to you. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. We have the impossible task that we've just done to ourselves by talking about these other things, which we did because we believe it's important. But we have to talk, maybe too briefly, about hopefully three things. One is about this Mass and the Epistle and Gospel. The second thing is, in case anyone was thinking we didn't realize it, it is Mother's Day and Happy Mother's Day. So we're going to talk about that. And then, naturally, our thoughts go to our Heavenly Mother, so we'll hopefully fit in something there, too. So a lot to do very quickly. The St. James is cautioning us, and I try to read that text so you could hear it right away. He's telling everyone, be very quick to listen. So we can always learn. And he said, be very slow to speak. And even more, he didn't say that, but even more, be slow to wrath. And then he gives the antidote to the vice of anger and these expressions. And he says, practice meekness. Now, this has been spoken about in the past. I'm saying it again. Do you know, one of the hallmarks of Easter, if you want to put it that way, is the establishment of meekness. Because our Lord, first thing he said officially to the apostles, as you know, was he said, and this is in the upper room on Easter Sunday, you know the whole story, but he said, peace be to you. He kept repeating it. Now we mentioned that, maybe some people didn't hear that. If you did not hear it, you go to the website anytime and just listen to this. There was a sermon on the first Friday, and it was all about this idea. So if anyone here has a problem with this, carrying anger around or resentment or wrath, and they have to try and practice meekness, here's a great talk to hear. You can tell right from the title. Christ was not a grudge holder. And he proved that right there on Easter night, because everyone abandoned him. And so how is our Lord going to react to all of these traitors when he first sees them? Oh, you were all so bad. Everything I did for you, and this is how you treated me. But no, he was not a grudge holder. And so he said, peace to you. And he said it several times to assure them. And he said, come and see my wounds. That's the example. And St. James is one of the ones that's heard our Lord. And he's saying, everybody, don't jump. Do not get angry when you hear things. Be meek. And this is one of the, for Easter, but in every Mass, as we're approaching the Holy Communion, you've mentioned it before, what is it that the church is having the priests focus in on? Those words of our Lord of peace. As you said to your apostles, my peace I give to you. Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world. Grant us peace. And then there's a prayer that goes off about that. A meditation in the middle of the Mass about that. so that when we receive our Lord in Holy Communion, we are receiving him in peace and peace with all the brethren. Okay, all we can say there about the gospel. You'll see, our Lord told them, because you heard our Lord say, I will send the Holy Ghost. I mention that not because anyone here has a problem, but we have these Orthodox who have a problem, and we can't go through the whole story. So I'm not going to do that, but I'm just telling you, here is our Lord himself saying, I am going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Orthodox, just to contrast that for us, they say that only the Father sends the Holy Ghost. So I'm just pointing that out. But then he says, when the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, comes, and he has, I must go. Now, this is the night before our Lord died. So he must go because he has to die on the cross for sin, to remove that hindrance to the work of the Holy Ghost to sanctify. And in regards to the Father, he must die on the cross to give glory to his Father. And he says, I must do this to convict the world of sin, of justice, and judgment. And our Lord didn't leave it there. You see, he actually went in and told them what that means. Why? Because of sin? Because what is the sin? Unbelief. They did not believe me. So the Holy Ghost is going to come and reassure all the believers that you are correct to believe. And of justice, because justice was not done to our Lord. Even in the natural world, Pontius Pilate could see he should be released, but he gave in to pressure, corruption, big surprise. And so the Holy Ghost is going to come and say, no, he is the just one. And how? He will go to the Father. He will ascend and sit at the right hand of the Father. And of judgment, now the Holy Spirit is going to come. The person of truth is going to come and convict the world of sin, in particular, the prince of darkness, that is the devil. And so the Holy Ghost is going to infuse in the church all these charisms that are going to have, and especially in the early church, to help prove everything, all of these great manifestations against the devil. We have to go on to about the Mother's Day. What can we say in reflecting on this? Less than half of the human race is in the category of a mother. Because obviously half are right away men, and not all women are mothers. So it's less than half of the human race. But you know what? 100% of everyone sitting here and 100% in the world today have mothers. So it is critical. The only couple of people that did not have a mother are Adam and Eve. And in the gospel, it talks about, and he was in the listing of the genealogy of our Lord, it says, and he was of Adam, who was of God. So Adam and Eve had God as father, and we don't say mother, but the generator of these first people. So we see right away that in God, he had to, didn't have to, but this is the way he designed it, that he would have two principles that would show forth his great power and love. And one of these is mother. And it talks about the first mother, Eve, and how she was given her name by Adam, who named all of the creatures, because he said, you are the mother of the living. So we know right away, what is a mother? She is the person of the living. She is the one who gives life. Now, obviously, God is the one who gives life, but this is his instrument. And it's a great responsibility. It's a great calling. And we have no time to go into that, except to say everyone should thank God for his and her mother and pray for them, have masses offered for them, especially if they have already passed away. And for mothers in particular, thank God. And Saint Monica, whose feast was earlier this month, is a great
example for mothers, especially when it's an on-the-job training program. It's not easy. God has given us the instinctive powers so that once a person becomes a mother, a woman becomes a mother, it's amazing how these come to the fore. And we can't go through all these characteristics, but some of them, you see right away, how the mother is, no matter what is going on, how distracted they might be at any time, as soon as there is a threat or potential threat to the child, they know exactly how to respond. It's an amazing thing. That's instinct. So we talk about St. Monica, where this on-the-job training sometimes can, we don't observe. We're all human beings. We make mistakes. We might not be as generous and wise as we're supposed to be. And then we have things we have to try to correct. And St. Monica is the great example of that, because she had prayed and for 30 years, and then we have this, the greatest, I'm pointing back to St. Augustine, this great saint. I mean, his influence and power is, it's in, really, we can't even appreciate the tremendous contribution he has made to the church and Western civilization at large, okay? And we don't always think about, it's all because his mother prayed for him. So we encourage all mothers, pray. We might not see the results. She was fortunate to see the results of her prayers. Not in its full fruition, because she died shortly after his conversion. We can see why. She had done her job. But I want to just point this out about St. Monica. Just, we don't always talk about it a lot. But it's good to know. We just heard recently, I don't know who said it, but all the saints have a past, and all sinners have a future. A little clever twist of words. And so it's good to, you know, saints are great, but sometimes always remember to think of their past. She made mistakes, St. Monica. One of them was that she had a pagan husband. He eventually became Catholic. But she was influenced by that. And so they had a promising son, and they did everything they could to give him the best education they could give him, which is nothing wrong with that. But it was a pagan education. And he had, so then she had to make up for 30 years praying to undo all of those pagan ideas. Word of advice to everybody, how many times we keep hearing it. And by the way, not just the education itself, but the emphasis. We see some of this in his own confessions, that's of St. Augustine, the emphasis on the body. Not just the mind and the way they poison the mind, but on the body. We're not going into more detail, just to give you that word. So if things have gone wrong, you have St. Monica to give you as an example. And if you still have a chance, listen, don't make the same mistake she did. Now, in the last couple of minutes here, and more to say about that, we can't. Well, I'll just say this one thing. You know, parallels in the natural world, when you see, especially at this time of year when life is coming back, you know, spring and all that, and you see these, the great flowering of things, and just, I don't know if you're able to smell the great blossoms on the trees here and everything. It's an amazing thing. Actually, it makes you think of heaven. The great, not all the other things in heaven, but just the great fragrances there. And we love seeing these flowers, and we love seeing the fruits that come and everything like that. Well, these are all natural signs of motherhood. Again, we know people who, when a woman is carrying a child, a lot of times people say, oh, you know. But I know people who would say how much they loved the special glow that comes from a woman who's carrying a child. Have you ever thought about that? I heard that and I thought, that's interesting. And there is something there, just naturally speaking. And so, what is it? It is the flowering of God's creative power in this person. I don't know about you, that's beautiful to me. And of course, we have the great example in the Blessed Virgin Mary. And of course, this month is dedicated to her. Yesterday was the anniversary of that first apparition at Fatima, 100 years ago. It's a great story to all that we know. But just this little point, and it's also to give some credit to people who are really maligned and everything else. These Fatima devotees and experts who have given their lives and their work to spreading this message of the Blessed Virgin in a world which wants to get rid of it and confuse it with all kinds of false apparitions. You cannot go into that except to say Medjugorje, Bayside, go down the list. I can't even tell you. I'll just say this without giving any details. You know, when our Lord, when our Blessed Mother appeared to St. Bernadette at Lourdes, do you know there popped up, I don't know how many, but many young girls of St. Bernadette's age all claiming the same thing? Do you know that? It's a trap. It's always a trick of the devil. He cannot undo the miracle. Even with our Lord would do miracles. Nobody can contest it. You know the story we just had recently. Here's the case. He puts up all kinds of false things to try and muddy the waters. Well, here we have Fatima, and we have all this fake thing going on. Just to give you that. Okay. By the way, on Fatima, okay, the one thing I want to say is, because this is significant, and I'm giving credit to these people for analyzing this, because in 1917, there was this terrible war going on. And there was no end in sight. And the Pope at the time was Pope Benedict XV. And he came from a background in the Vatican diplomatic corps. So, as St. Augustine always would say, you know, pray, and it does, everything depends on God, and work as if everything depends on you. And so this Pope was doing that, but his emphasis, of course, was on the diplomatic solution to this crisis. And to show you the impact of this Pope on that issue, just that alone. Do you remember this in school? President Woodrow Wilson's 14 points. Do you remember that? His 14 points that were his proposal for peace. You know? Do you know where he got it? Ready? He got it from this Pope, Benedict XV. Now, he had four principles, and this president expanded. They never gave any credit to Pope Benedict XV. They never invited him or his representatives to the Versailles for anything like that. Okay, but that's just the background. Show this person's capability. But by May of 1917, he could see there was no way that diplomacy was going to do anything. And so he wrote a letter to the Cardinal Secretary of State and pleaded to heaven for peace, and in particular to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Give us peace. And he added to the Litany of Loreto the invocation, Queen of Peace, pray for us. 7 days later, the Blessed Mother came to Fatima and told them the war will end and I will give peace if you do these things I ask. And so we cannot say much more about the Blessed Mother except just to say that and to tell everybody. Especially at the same mothers, because you are, as they talk about the American pioneers, there's a statue, I don't know where it is, somewhere here in the Midwest or something, of this, I don't know where it is, I think it's in Kansas somewhere, and it's a statue, a monument statue, and it is not a statue of, you know, Daniel Boone or something, Davy Crockett, you know. It's the statue of a woman with, I think, maybe a shovel in one hand, and she's staying there because they're saying, these are the people who established this new frontier. We had all these wild men running around, but it was only civilization came when the women came. And if you, and it's documented, by the way, in the Lewis and Clark expedition when they first came up, to, you know, for 2 years on the Corps of Discovery, they went through up trying to look for that, that passage, the Northwest Passage and everything. Well, these were, you know, 30 or so, you know, tough characters. And it is recorded that when they picked up this French trader scout on the way who had an Indian wife, just her presence, and she was, I don't know if she gave birth to a child on this way or whatever, but the influence of this, just this one woman on these wild people, tough people, it's all recorded how these people became more civilized just because she was with them. So we know the influence, and in the supernatural, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so we're just telling you, especially mothers, you can have the influence. If you're not already, everyone should, Blessed Mother said it, Fatima, say the rosary daily. If you're not doing that, shame on you. But if you are a mother and you're not doing that, more shame. Because you can be the pioneers of civilization and supernatural life, the supernatural kingdom that is to come. So on this Mother's Day, we pray for all our mothers. We thank them. We give them a great celebration today. We come back to cap the day with benediction. And we go forth with the intention to make a difference and to pray and to be close to our Blessed Mother. May God bless you.